We're continuing our coronavirus coverage all afternoon, and in this first hour, we are focusing on the impacts of the coronavirus on children and families. How do we talk to our kids about it? And how about managing work and kids at home every day? We'll answer your questions. We'll get advice from mental health professionals and parent bloggers. So call 1-800-423-8255. With schools statewide closed starting today, we start with Brenda Caselius, superintendent of the Boston Public Schools. Superintendent Caselius, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Tiziana. Nice to be on with you.
Nice to have you. And the superintendent will take your call. So if you have a question for her, call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. All right, Superintendent, statewide school closing today until April 6th, but Boston is going until April 27th. What factored into that decision?
So, you know, when we made the original decision, we factored in a lot of things in collaboration with our Boston Health Commission as well as the city offices and city services, and we just thought it was prudent for our city to be able to close until April 27th to give us that amount of time to see this very evolving situation. As you can tell by other states, it has been rapidly evolving and hour by hour, day by day, and we just thought that that's the time that's going to be needed.
Is it possible that schools could open sooner, Superintendent Caselius? And if so, with how much notice to parents and families?
Yeah, I'm told that if we actually get this flattening of the curve, I've heard it called, we could open up earlier. That's in the best case scenario. But right now, you know, April 27th is our target date.
This was such a huge move. What did it take to get prepared with so little time to do something like this?
Well, we had been getting prepared for a number of weeks. I think what was surprising was how quickly the decision had to come. And so last Wednesday, we had several things happen with the president giving the address, restricting travel, with the NBA closing their season, with us finding our first confirmed case in a school. And we just felt it was very prudent, as well as the mayor, to be able to protect all Bostonians, given the information that we had from the CDC and from our Boston Health Commission, to do so would be to close the schools swiftly and to protect our citizens.
This is an extra hour of Radio Boston, and we're speaking with Superintendent of Boston Public Schools, Brenda Caselius. If you have a question for the superintendent, give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Superintendent, it's a really diverse school system, and we also know that the majority of the students rely on the school for meals. How are you accommodating that need during this time, and is it fairly straightforward, or is this a big part of the challenge of closing the Boston Public Schools?
Well, it's a little different in our delivery method, so we're very used to serving our students multiple times during the day, over 50,000 meals to our students. And so what it was a deployment issue for us, and so wanting to make sure that we had multiple sites close to home, because our children don't always go to school close to home. And so we had to make sure we were able to get the meals there, make sure we get enough meals. We're also going to be serving our charter school, our Medco students, and also the parochial students. And really, we won't turn any child away. And so that was a little bit different in terms of our volume of the expectation of students we would be serving. So that was different. But we have such an incredible staff. They were able to mobilize quickly, have it delivered, have it safely prepared and ready for our children this morning. And I'm just so proud of our BPS staff.
As this unfolds, I think people in general are becoming increasingly aware of populations they might not have thought of before. So young people or students in the Boston Public Schools who are homeless, who are in shelter if they're not in school, who are in abusive home environments, who don't have a safe place to be. I recognize the Boston Public Schools can't do everything, but how are you thinking about those children and what they're missing when they don't have a school building to be in all day during the week?
Yeah, so that was our biggest concern, was not only the food, but the safety of our children as well, especially our students who are most vulnerable, that being our undocumented students, and making sure that they're safe and they know how to access services in a safe way, making sure that our students who are on respirators and have medical complexities, making sure that they have their assisted learning devices at home and that they have the care that they need at home. So we'll be calling each of those families to ensure that we come up with plans for them that are realistic, one that we can still try to help them with, as well as connecting them to other services that we can provide for the family. So those are really significant concerns. And then for students who are homeless, we've been working and coordinating with the city and their services around housing. I was happy to see that there was a 90-day suspension of evictions. I think that's critical for the stabilization of our families, especially as we have some of these restrictions for our children to be safe and stabilized in home.
One of the things that's been assumed by families and communities, I think, with these school closings is that there are ways for learning to continue to take place at home. I know the Boston Public Schools has been concerned about and invested in Chromebook or laptop distribution. How are you ensuring equitable distribution so that students who need to learn from home can have internet access, have the tools and resources they need, et cetera?
Yeah, so this is where that all hands on deck has really been able to help us out in Boston. We just have such a generous community, and the mayor has made this a significant priority of his, that learning does continue. Obviously, it will not be the same as being in the classroom with the teacher, but we do want to provide for that gap that we think could happen to fill that gap with supplemental materials. So what we've done is provided printed materials at home for parents. There are descriptions on our website. Teachers will be going online next week to connect with their students through their Google digital backpacks that they already have been doing. Each school has a little bit different plan, given different schools have autonomies and different plans already. So we want to make sure that every child has both printed materials available to them as well as Chromebooks when they come in. Some schools have given out their Chromebooks already, and those who do not yet have them have printed materials, and also we will have a way for parents to, they'll get both text and robocall to make an appointment to get issued their new Chromebook.
What about students with IEPs, special needs, students who are maybe receiving special or additional educational support in the classroom that's just not going to be available to them at home? I know in general you're worried about what would be the equivalent of summer learning loss. What about students who are more vulnerable in terms of their learning when they're not in the classroom environment?
Yeah, so this is my biggest concern with this extended hiatus here of formalized learning is our students with disabilities. We know that anytime children are away from these really significant supports, it can impact both their social-emotional well-being in terms of isolation from their peers. This is especially true for our students with autism. We want to make sure that we're able to work with our students who have dyslexia, make sure that they have the kind of learning supports with the literacy materials that they get. And we know that there is the risk that they may lose some of their gains, and we want to be sure as much as we possibly can that we are connecting with them. So our special ed teachers, as well as some of our professional special ed staff here at Central Office, are going to be trying to do weekly touch-ins with families to see that they have the services and the materials that they need to prevent as much loss as we possibly can.
So, you know, we are a social animal, and being in contact with each other, keeping an eye on each other, interacting and not feeling isolated is such an important part of mental well-being and social-emotional well-being. How are you thinking about that for both teachers and students, given how isolated people will be now and how this natural community is no longer available, at least for a time?
Yeah, it's really hard because, you know, we want to hug our children every single day, especially when we know that they're afraid or that they are hurt and they just need to have a hug. And so this 6 feet, you know, kind of social distancing is very challenging. And, you know, I've actually realized my own self how very difficult it is because I'm a hugger and, you know, I like to handshake people all the time. And so it's been very challenging, and I'm sure it's very, very stressful for children. So the more that parents can talk to students and children about this very honestly and in a real way, and then listen to them and let them express their feelings about it and honor their feelings no matter where they're at, you know, with whether they're angry about it, whether they don't understand it, or whether they think it's not a big deal. I think that it's important that we not correct the feelings that they have, let them feel those feelings, and then help them work through it and understand the crisis that we are going through.
WBUR spoke to kindergarten teacher Alana Ainsworth yesterday, the last day before schools closed, and she said she spent much of her day helping her class kind of understand what to expect. Here she is.
I've been talking with them a lot today about, like, okay, we're not going to see each other for a while, but it's not going to be that we're not here, and it's not like we're never going to see each other again. We're going to come back as a community again, but you're just going to be learning at home for a long time with your families.
Our next segment this hour is going to be with people helping teach families how to talk to their children about what's happening. As a superintendent, as an educator, what would you have parents tell their children about this school hiatus?
Well, I think the best thing that parents can do is try to still keep their children connected to their peers and to their friendship groups. That parents should stay connected with them and develop their relationships, do fun activities like games and cards and puzzles, you know, kind of the old school stuff. Limit the screen time that they have. Make sure that they find joyful times to go outside, walk around the block, play with the pets if you have a family pet. Have them do caregiving so that they feel value and that they're adding to the chores and being good contributors to the household management, so that it's not all on the parents. You know, so parents, I think a good thing to do is to give children activities and structures and routines throughout the day, and they'll find that their days flow very nicely. We are going to have computers to our students so that they can stay connected to their classmates and to their teachers. And so I think that it's really important to continue that sense of community so that when we do start up, whether that is earlier or April 27th or maybe even later, depending on this evolving situation, that when students do come back, that they're, you know, didn't miss a beat in terms of being able to be connected to their peers.
I do want to get a couple more questions in before we have to let you go. The first is, you know, will school employees get paid during this time? And we actually had a question come in through Twitter about a per diem sub and if and how they would be compensated. So who is being paid, if anybody, and how during this time?
So the mayor has committed to working with all of our labor unions around the pay piece, and I believe that he has committed to public employees being paid. And so, you know, that if you're a public employee, you will be paid. Now, I know that his team is working with all of our labor unions on that.
I know another really big question on parents' minds is what's going to happen with MCAS, which was due to start relatively soon.
Well, the mayor spoke to my heart the other day when he said we need to be worried about our children's food security and their safety and their learning outcomes first right now in this crisis rather than worrying about standardized testing. So I'm hoping that the state will push that off. Already with the state closed for 3 weeks, that interferes with, I believe, the state testing. And so they're going to have to for sure postpone it, if not eliminate it at all. I don't know how children could even think about taking MCAS tests now, given the stress level and those results being valid or reliable at this point.
And just to be clear for our listeners, that's a decision that you're awaiting from the state itself.
Exactly, both state and federal law. So the federal government would need to give relief to the state, but because Massachusetts has both state law and federal law, both bodies would have to approve that.
Superintendent, there's so much going on with the schools. Today is not the time to talk about the Department of Ed, the DESE report that came out last Friday, but I am hoping that you will come back in the future and talk with us about that. Is that something you'd be able to do?
Sure.
Great. And in the meantime, thank you for being with us today and for, you know, staying in touch with our listeners about how all of this is unfolding. This is Brenda Caselius, Superintendent of Boston Public Schools. Thanks again.
Thank you.